be ready. And we were talking about the signs and the signs of the end times that will be occurring. I'll just briefly review them because there's more to say today. Matthew 24, Jesus spoke about the end times in verses, actually the whole chapter is really about the end times, but we were concentrating on verses 1 to 14. When Jesus said in verses 4 and 5, many will come in my name. We mentioned about in the 1990s David Koresh, who said he was Jesus and led a group of people in the area of Waco, Texas, to believe him. They were deceived because they didn't follow the word of God. If they did, they would have known better. We mentioned an update. In September of 2020, Sergei Torop, also known as Vissarion, was arrested in Russia, claimed to be Jesus, and had a following of several thousand people. We also spoke about the wars and the rumors of wars, in Syria, Afghanistan, Gulf Wars, Vietnam War, Korean War, and most recently, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Now we have Communist China threatening Taiwan. Just what Jesus said is happening. Jesus spoke about famines in verse 7 of chapter 24. And famines and pestilence. We had the coronavirus and all its variants. The Ebola virus outbreak. The H1N1 viral outbreak that causes swine flu. Earthquakes that Jesus mentioned always occurring. We had that major earthquake we spoke about in 2004 in the Indian Ocean, 9.1 to 9.3 on the Richter scale. It affected the axis of the earth. That's how strong it was. We mentioned the most recent earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. It was a 7.8 on the Richter scale with an aftershock of 7.5. Another one on February 20th in the same area, 6.3 on the Richter scale, killed over 51,800 people. And more than 160,000 buildings had collapsed in Turkey. I saw the video. They were shaking like nothing. Jesus said, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you. And this treatment of Jesus' followers started occurring in the book of Acts and is continuing today and will continue into the tribulation period. Persecution of Christians is occurring in the Middle East, Africa, Asia, communist countries such as China and North Korea, and starting as we see in the United States. We mentioned that there would be apostasy in the last days, which is falling away from the Lord and abandonment of the faith. And this seems to be already occurring. Verse 11 mentions about false prophets. It is believed that there will be false prophets during the tribulation period, which we will get into this morning. And there already are false teachings, teaching of Chrislam and Pastor Rick Warren's church. Chinese government, we mentioned, is attempting to rewrite the Bible with communist principles. Lawlessness increased. Well, that one is so evident. Just watching the news, considering the violent riots in major cities across the nation and during the past few years, and many politicians are corrupt. And that corruption is on both sides of the aisle. The love of many will wax cold, something else that's very evident. The disregard for human life in countries around the world. In some cities in the United States, murder is commonplace and out of control, and even peaks on weekends. We know what some of these cities are. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, Paul mentions to Timothy terrible, or in the King James Version, perilous times will come. And we are seeing currently some of these descriptions on the news of perilous times. Vladimir Putin appears to have nuclear weapons, nuclear options in his war threats. Now, I mentioned this last Sunday. I was reading again about it this week. His Minister of Defense, whatever they call it, is still threatening the United States. He's saying that if the United States and the NATO allies keep assisting Ukraine, that could lead to a nuclear conflict. Are we in the last days or not? But as we see these things, Jesus said, "See that you be not troubled," because we know Jesus. As I said last week, this is not to scare. This is to make aware that we are in last days and what are we doing about it. But anyway, we have Russia threatening with nuclear weapons. We have rogue nations that are developing nuclear capability. Without self-control, how many people in these last days are controlled by their own lusts rather than exhibiting self-control? Now, last week as we were ending, I said that there are shadows of the tribulation period that we are seeing right now. And we're going to discuss how we are seeing these shadows, what they are. And when we discuss it, we'll discuss these shadows and also get into the tribulation period, and you will see the correlation, how these shadows are occurring. In the end time events, the tribulation will follow the rapture of the church. So we're in the church age now. We're at the end of it. The rapture of the church will end the church age. Following the rapture of the church and we go up with the Lord, the tribulation period will begin. This period of time, of the tribulation period, will last for 7 years. During this period of time, the Antichrist will be in power, and his reign will be global. Now, the shadows. Consider the current efforts in society for globalization. We hear about trends for a global economy. Some people talk about a global currency. Recent article about the World Health Organization, better known as WHO, located in Geneva, Switzerland, is establishing a public health standards for different countries around the world. Talk about globalization. So they want to set health standards for different countries around the world. There will be, as we said, in the tribulation period, a one world leader, globalization. So all this globalization that we're seeing develop is pointing towards shadows of the tribulation period, which is coming after the rapture. Now, during the tribulation period, a person will not be able to buy or sell without having the mark of the beast. The beast referring to the Antichrist. When you read about the beast in the book of Revelation, it refers to the Antichrist. So you will not be able to buy or sell anything without the mark of the beast. Now, we don't know if that's going to be a mark, a microchip, but consider today's technology, the current microchip technology. Some people in different countries already have microchips in them. Sweden is one of those countries. Some people have a microchip. This may be a precursor to the mark of the beast. Considering these shadows of events that will occur in the tribulation period, we may be closer to the rapture than what we think. If we're seeing the shadows now, we might be closer to the rapture than what we think. And we'll discuss what the rapture is. Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Consider the current broadcasting capabilities using television, satellites, the internet. The gospel message is reaching all over the world. The end may be closer than what we think. Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." It's reaching all over the world. Verses 32 and 33 of Matthew 24, I'll read them to you. Jesus said, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door." We need to be ready for the rapture of the church, because we don't want to live in the tribulation period. What is the rapture of the church? If you would turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 13 to 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 13 to 18. As I said, this is not to scare, this is to make you aware. This message was heavy on my heart even before I gave finished up the previous message, which was Jesus Rose of Sharon. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. A description of the rapture. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus," those who passed away in Jesus, when it says asleep. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall also be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So we said, when it says those who are asleep refers to the children of God who have passed away and are now living with him. Their spirits are in heaven. That's what it means, those who are asleep, those who have gone on before us. Verses 15 to 17, it says, "The dead in Christ will rise first." What does that mean? For those who have passed away in the Lord, their spirits will be united with a glorified body. And they will be recognizable when we meet them. They'll have a glorified body. I'll know my Father when I see him. You will know whoever passed on before you. You will recognize them. They will rise out of the dirt with a glorified body. That's what it means. The dead in Christ will rise first. How could that happen? Didn't God put us together cell by cell when he created us? The dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive and saved at the time of the rapture will meet Jesus in the air along with those who had passed away previously. So those the dead in Christ will rise first, as we just described. Then those of us who remain at the time of the rapture, which could be all of us at this point, we will rise up and meet those who have risen from the dead. We will all meet Jesus in the air. Okay? I hope I made that clear. The dead in Christ will rise up from the ground first. God will do it. Then we will rise up in this rapture to meet the dead in Christ and Jesus, who is causing the whole thing to take place, and we're all going to heaven. So as Pastor David Jeremiah said, he said, I'm not looking, now he's 80 years old. He said, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Looking for the upper taker. We will all meet in the air. Jesus will not be on the ground until his second coming that will occur after the tribulation period. So in other words, Jesus will be in the air when we meet him. His feet will not be touching the ground until the second coming. So we see there is a difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming, which will occur after the tribulation period. So it's rapture of the church, which is probably sooner than what we think. Tribulation period for 7 years, the second coming of Jesus. He will come to end the tribulation period and begin his millennial reign on the earth. I hope you're still with me on this. Okay, thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. Paul speaking. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. In other words, we will not all die. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. This is the rapture. Paul was speaking of the rapture. We will not all sleep. We will not all die. But we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The rapture is going to occur like that. You blink your eyes, that's how fast the rapture is going to occur. We're going to be pulled right up into heaven in the twinkling of an eye. What does that tell us? It means you must be ready. You must be ready. Your salvation has to be sure. As I believe it says in 1 Peter, make your salvation sure. So that's the rapture. Following the rapture will be the tribulation period. Now I'm going to give you a brief overview of the tribulation period. Again, this is not scare, this is aware. The tribulation period is a period of time that will occur after the rapture and last for 7 years. So if I say after the rapture, what does that mean? Those who have accepted the Lord in their lives and are faithful to the end, you're not going to be here for the tribulation period. You're going to be in heaven. But I want to make you aware, and I'll tell you why in a minute. I want to make you aware with a brief overview of the tribulation period. It will occur after the rapture and will last for 7 years. Jesus said, Matthew 24, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not ever shall be. It'll be the worst period in history. It'll never get that bad again. What are the reasons for the tribulation period? Wrath of God against sin, number one. Number two, many souls will be saved during the tribulation period. And many Jewish people who aren't accepting the Lord now will accept him during the tribulation period. Now, these saved souls will probably pay with their lives because persecution will be so bad. Remember, the Antichrist will be in power, global power. Natural disasters, wars, the devastation in our current world now are only a taste of the atrocities that will occur during the tribulation period. Jan Markow, who studies end time events, said that the current times, as bad as they are only like a small firecracker when compared to the events that will occur during the tribulation period. The Antichrist, who is also known as the Beast in the book of Revelation, who will rule during this time, will be a personification of Satan. Evil will be rampant. We think it's bad now. Some of the natural disasters that will occur during this great tribulation include great earthquakes and darkness. The reference for that is Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. There'll be great earthquakes and darkness. Another natural disaster during the Great Tribulation period. The stars of heaven will fall to the earth. This is Revelation chapter 6, verse 13. This may be asteroids that will strike the earth. Something else. The mountains and the islands will move. That is Revelation chapter 6, verse 14, possibly due to the impact of the asteroids. One-third of the oceans will become blood. That's Revelation chapter 8, verse 8. Freshwater bodies will become bitter. That's Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. This will affect rivers, springs, wells. This will cause many people to die. Then you have the mark of the beast. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 and 17. The mark, or maybe some form of a microchip that we said before, that will identify the person as a follower of the Antichrist. That's what this mark will do. The mark will be necessary in order to buy or sell anything. Anyone who does not have this mark will not be able to buy or sell. So how are you going to buy food? Anyone who accepts the mark of the beast will be doomed for hell. There is no chance for salvation after that. You'll just be doomed for hell. Great persecution against anyone who accepts the Lord into his or her life. Something else that will be occurring during this tribulation period. Tribulation period will end with the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus will return to the earth, and we will return with him. How are we going to return with him? Because we'll be with him in heaven, enjoying something called the marriage supper, because the saved will not be here for the tribulation period. And at the end of the tribulation period, Jesus is coming back. We're coming with him. He will defeat the Antichrist and the false prophet who will be working with the Antichrist. The Antichrist and the false prophet and all his followers will be cast into hell. And Jesus will begin his millennial reign on earth. So during the Battle of Armageddon, Jesus will defeat the Antichrist. If you want to know what the Battle of Armageddon is going to be like, you can read in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. It's most brutal, but I'm just giving you a reference. Jesus will come back to reign for 1,000 years. You'll hear about the millennial reign of Christ. That will begin with the second coming of Jesus. And you know what? Here's a real good one. When Jesus has his millennial reign, millennial meaning 1,000 years, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, bound in hell. That millennial reign is going to be phenomenal. But that's what's going to happen. The millennial reign of Jesus. Now, why am I talking about this? Why was the Lord's imprinting this on my heart to give this message. You must be ready. You have to be ready for the rapture of the church. Knowing that the coming of the Lord is so close, what should we do? How should we react to this fact? How should we live our lives? Matthew 24:32, verses 32 and 33. We read them before. I'll read it again. I just want to read Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 and 33. And then I'll jump to verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So do you too. When you see all these things, recognize that it is near, even at the door. And the signs of they're being fulfilled left and right. Some people, end time scholars who have studied end times in depth, believe that all the signs have been fulfilled already, which means the Lord could come at any moment. I'm going to jump to verse 42 to 44. Jesus is still speaking. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken up. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17, I'll read to you. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Does that describe today? Be careful how you live. In other words, be ready. Be ready for the rapture, the coming of the Lord. The wise person will draw close to the Lord in these end times. These verses in Ephesians mention making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. As we watch current events, we see the days are dark and evil, but the Christian has the opportunity to shine in this darkness. Ask the Lord for divine appointments so that you could shine the light of Christ into someone's life. Make the most of every opportunity that Jesus gives you. Jesus is the only hope in these last days. You're certainly not going to find it in the government. There is much corruption in our government, so the only place you're going to find hope is in Jesus. Many people are studying end time signs in depth, and this is good. There is a branch of Christian theology called eschatology, which is the study of end times. That is E-S-C-H-A-T-O-L-O-G-Y, eschatology. That is the study of end time events. The study of end times is wise and enlightening, and it is good knowledge to have. But we don't want to miss the main focal point, the primary reason why Jesus gave these signs, which is to be ready. That's why Jesus gave these signs. Do you need to seriously accept Jesus into your life or seriously recommit your life to him? Have we become prodigal and need to return to the Lord? Maybe you need to get more serious in your walk with the Lord. Don't wait. Don't wait. As I said before, some end time scholars who have studied end times in depth believe that all the signs have been fulfilled already. He is coming soon and very soon, and we want to be ready. The coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, may be closer than what we think. Jesus could come for any one of us on an individual level at any time. My father passed away in his sleep. Will you or I be ready? What good would it be to know and to understand all the end time signs and not be ready for Jesus coming in the rapture? So a person knew all the signs and they weren't ready. That would be bad news. We don't want to be here for the tribulation period. And this is why I say each Sunday morning during announcements to pray for the unsaved and the backslidden. You hear me say it every morning because you don't want anyone you know, family member, a relative, a friend, anyone you care about, you don't want them living in that tribulation period. We briefly went over the signs. There are even more, but I was giving you the highlights of it. You don't want them living in the tribulation period. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Are your family and friends ready for the rapture? If you can't talk to them, keep praying and showing them the light of the Lord through the way you live your life. Those who have genuinely accepted the Lord into his or her life and are faithful until his return will not experience the tribulation period. How do we know that? I'll read to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, has not appointed believers to go through the great tribulation, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, pertains to the rapture of the church, obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because you are saved, you will go with him in the rapture. God has not appointed us to wrath, has not appointed us to the tribulation period. So we say, thank you, Jesus. Can we thank Jesus enough? The tribulation period will be almost hell on earth. It'll be so bad, there'll never be another period of time like it. And we owe it all to Jesus that we will not be here. Those who have seriously accepted the Lord and are faithful to the end will not be here for the tribulation period. But pray for the unsaved and the backslidden. It's so important. As I said, anyone you care about and love, pray for their salvation. We want to be ready and go with the Lord in the rapture of the church. One day soon, and very soon, Jesus is coming in the rapture to take us into glory, to live with him forever. Forever. We want to be sure that we are ready for that day. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, ends this message well. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Someone had asked me, when I go with the Lord in the rapture, will there be a chance to sin and fall back after that? No. This says over here, once you go with the Lord, you're with him for good. No more chance of sin in your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. So shall we ever be with the Lord.